Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No. Okay, it's just a very nice logo. Anything. I was going to say Pine Valley in New Jersey, the most exclusive course in the United States.
I'm sworn to secrecy on it. That's fine. So your bottom line is they do need the division to win
that,
playoff games?
I do think that it would help them immensely to have a home game, yeah. Like, I think that locally...
So is that saying yes or no? I'm confused.
I think they need the division. Okay. I think it would be... I think now you look at, like, last night's game, I feel validated in my I'd rather see the Broncos than the Chargers, but it's not like that game was a rout. Herbert went God mode late. Knicks and those guys were in the mix, though. You know what I mean? Like, both of those teams look tough. My point is, like, when people were saying they don't need to win the division because, well, they can beat Baltimore. They've proven what they can do against
Jackson. Feels like a coping mechanism to me right now.
Right. Like, I still...
Feels like a way to, like, justify a slide at the end of the year and not playing well against big opponents in a tough schedule is how that comes across.
I mean, there's definitely some of that. While there is definitely going to be pressure on them, because if they get a home game, because it's not like going into Buffalo with Mason Rudolph and it's a house money game, or even going in with Roethlisberger against Mahomes in his final game, and it's like, well, if you keep this close for three quarters, it almost feels like a moral victory. I think there would be some pressure if they're playing a home game. Hey, there's an expectation you win this game regardless of who your opponent is. Like, come on. But I think the team won't be feeling that external pressure. I think they would want to be at home. What's their record? Well, they have lost to the Cowboys at home this year, but that's it, right? Am I blanking on... They lost to the Browns in Cleveland.
Yep.
They lost to Indy.
Yep.
And they lost to the Eagles in Philly. So there you go. Three losses on the road.
Needed a guy with a sprained nutsack to catch a last-second touchdown to lose at home.
Right. And that was a Fields game still.
Donnie, do the Steelers need to win the division to win a playoff game?
Oddly, I don't think they absolutely need to win the division to pull it off. I think a Steelers team at close to full health... I would give them a puncher's chance if they had to go back into Baltimore. I would definitely give them a chance if they had to go into Houston. If you're talking KC or Buffalo, no. I'm ruling that out. But
I at least think there's a shot against
two of them.
Let me ask you a question about that then, because I've heard Starkey say that. He said, I'd rather them be completely healthy, and who cares about – well, not who cares. But I don't want to put words in his mouth. He gets mad about that.
I never said that, Pony.
It's all about health. Then shouldn't he take umbrage with Watt playing tomorrow?
Unless you think Watt really cannot act.
Why not just go the Kabbali route then?
Like complete shutdown?
Which is rest Watt, rest Pickens, and make sure they're 100%
healthy.
So
just have them not play at all?
Yeah.
I think there's a legit rebuttal to that, though. Just the rust of not playing?
Yes.
Like, I don't think it's... Now, Watt didn't work out with the team for an entire offseason, so you could throw that back in my face. But
okay, do you think Watt's completely healthy right now?
I think he's probably like 90%+.
Okay, so he's not healthy.
But is it an injury that's going to, A, get better right like to 100% if he doesn't play this game? And also, probably more importantly, is it an injury that is really going to get worse if he plays?
Yes.
How do we know that?
Because everybody who's like... I'm not saying this is some kind of elite athlete, but when you try to play on an ankle sprain, even if it's not the dreaded high ankle sprain like Mahomes, mm-hmm. playing on an ankle sprain doesn't make an ankle sprain better, and it doesn't just stay the same the entire game. The way you're moving around and bending your ankle and your foot and stuff can absolutely make it worse. Why do you think ankles get taped, and why do you think they have braces put on them in situations like this? Because if you don't, there's a chance you make it worse. If not, then you would just say, hey, go out there willy-nilly and just do it the way you always do, because it's always going to be this. It's going to remain the same. That's not true. I mean, I think he's healthy enough to play, and I think it's an important enough play in a big enough I think it's a big enough game and an important enough game for him to play. I don't think he's like completely battling where he's got one leg, but he's normal.
Here's the injury thing, and here's why, like, specifically winning the division and winning it this week, you can serve both masters. You win the division, you win this game, you can ask TJ Watt in good conscience.
Bingo, that's what I mean.
That's the whole point. Like, if you really do believe health is actually paramount for this team and you want to rest their guys, if you're Cabali, I'll throw this at Cabali later, and he'll probably try to, you know, execute some artful dodge.
Like, Mark thinks right now it's a bad idea to play against Kansas City.
Okay, I'm just going to say that, hold on now. Different story. If they win this game, then you can probably sit Pickens for one more.
I would.
You definitely can. You can just say, George, we'll get you back out against Cincinnati.
I absolutely would sit him against the Chiefs.
Do you think there's a part of Pickens that's like, this is a Christmas Day game, it's a national game, I want to show out?
Probably, but he's not. I understand he's going to want a new contract in the offseason, but I also don't think we've done this before with Antonio.
George's people should
keep a silly streak going.
George's people should tell him he doesn't need to play in this game to earn a new contract. He needs to just look at the team's box scores.
Bingo! By his mere absence, he's earned himself.
He's good. He's fine. By the way, what do you think their playoff record is on the road under Tomlin? Just to continue to talk about whether they need a home game.
2-5.
Yep. Do you know the one little nugget about the two games that they've won? That's unusual. You'll think about it pretty quickly if you actually do the math here.
Here is the attendance state ombudsman right here, by the way.
This is like the cat, like all the stars are coming out. By the way, Pony, this is a good time, given what we're talking about, for you to open your present. And it's the same one that I got Donnie.
Thank you.
So Donnie is going to be.
Are you mad that I didn't bring yours?
No, it's good. But I think, like, with our pal here right now, our ombudsman, I think this is a perfect time because he'll get a huge charge out of this.
It's something Steelers related.
It is.
It's got a big Steelers logo on it.
It is.
Is this something?
Open it up. Just open. You got to open it up.
Is this something Kenny Pickett related?
No, it's much funnier than that, I think. You'll really get a charge out of it.
All right, so there's a big
It's one of those t-shirts, but you can customize the names on the back of them.
Oh, this is good. It's a 14 for Michael Brewerly for Pickens' burner account.
Now, Donnie, that is also your present. It is sitting in my car.
Wait, it's the same thing for him?
I got all three of us Brewerly 14 custom Steelers jerseys, Chalooch.
Oh, aren't there good.
Merry Christmas.
Aren't there certain names that you can't do?
Can
you get an O.J. Simpson?
So I don't think you can get Simpson, but it's funny.
How about Ron Mexico?
No, that was the original one. Like, on jerseys, you could not, and on everything, they said no Ron Mexico. So it's funny.
Which wasn't that the name Vic used to get an STD test done?
No, well, that was his hotel name and maybe his STD test name. But So obviously everybody knows I'm buddies with Fake John and Robinson, and I hatched this little plan and told him, and he goes, that's a very good idea. And his only response at first was, don't you think Brewerly might be on the embargo list? And I tried it. Here's what I think. It's still such a niche Pittsburgh joke because he's not Kevin Durant level famous or something for a burner account. It's such a niche thing that I think I won the day with that. Thoughts?
I think you did. This is tremendous. It's very thoughtful, and I absolutely will probably end up.
We have to wear it.
Oh, yeah,
together definitely. As like a show. We have to have a Brewerly day.
So I think our buddy Fred heard us bring up the fact that we hadn't had the dangerous sandwiches. So I was originally talking about the Subway ones, but I think
Primanti
just did the same exact thing, just on their right.
It's like their regular old.
Yeah, I think the cold cuts and stuff are the same as the one that he had in Denver.
Probably, no? I think they just took a Subway sandwich and said, "What are the ingredients? Yeah. We're going to do it with, but try it now with French fries."
I'm surprised Fred even. I mean, I'm surprised he's even here after what happened to Pitt Volleyball last night.
More to the point, what happened to Penn State Volleyball?
Turn this microphone on. Fred, walk over to that microphone.
Check, 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 check.
Now, are you going to say the same things over the air that you said to me in text, that the NCAA should be ashamed that they staged the Final Four and gave Louisville a home game, and that's essentially what beat Pitt? Do you feel that way?
No.
Hold on, wrong mic. I think we got the other one. Now we're good. Let's get that one going.
Go ahead.
No, I think they got beat, but
did they get jobbed?
I mean, it wasn't like the fix was in. I mean, the Final Four was in Pittsburgh 5 years ago, and Pitt could easily played at home. But
now, they didn't make it for that one. That's right.
Now, Chris had the audacity to say that Pitt choked in that match. Would you agree with that?
Well,
DeBeer went down, and she's their best player, Louisville's best player, their outside hitter. She like looked like she dislocated an ankle or something.
Was out for the match?
No, she was out for the fourth set. Pitt could have easily just stormed back without their best player, and instead they. I got to just call it like I see it. They fell apart in the fourth set.
Wow.
Absolutely. But also Pitt's second best player, Tori Stafford, blew out her ankle.
She came back and kept playing, though.
But
not the same.
You saw her ankle bend also.
No, I know.
So is that going to be like Watt tomorrow then is what you're saying, basically?
I don't know. All I know is I had Penn State on the money line last night in volleyball.
Yeah, because he does the betting thing where he bets on the team.
Well,
he hates
I was just going
to
say,
then
Fred,
winning.
If Fred had been able to live bet Penn State in that 22-16 down in the fourth set, you would have gotten as high of an odds number as you can possibly get in women's volleyball for that.
So I'm saying there's going to be a massive bet on Penn State over SMU tomorrow.
No, over. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, and Louisville. Absolutely. He could bet Penn State. No. Wait a minute. You can't. Louisville and Penn State in women's volleyball, that's like a, can we root for a small meteor to like destroy
really?
the
Pitt and Louisville are that big of rivals?
I just don't like either team in women's volleyball. Like I can't stand Louisville.
Yes, but I don't think if you're a Pitt fan, you want Penn State to win the national championship.
Louisville is their biggest rival because they're the other class in the ACC.
Though. There's no doubt about it.
I don't know. This is like Ravens Patriots here. Who would you have rooted for in those Ravens Patriots playoff
Ravens?
Games? Well, then you do have to root Louisville then.
Yeah, I would say the bet of the weekend, if I can discuss it, would be to tease Penn State down to one with the Ravens.
Wait, why would you not be able to discuss it? You think we're going to bar you from talking
about
gambling?
This isn't a sports. Yeah, we've never talked about gambling on this show.
FanDuel
Donnie just talked about John Holmes earlier in the show. I think you can bring up betting odds.
And that was a long segment.
So you take Penn State down to one as a Pitt fan, and you take the Ravens down to a pick. And that's all your only play the whole weekend.
So that's what he does. He bets the opposite. So then when his teams lose,
but I think
he
that's
still
like,
has a smile on his face.
I think emotionally speaking, that's like a terrific, that is like the true hedging of a bet. That's I call that an emotional hedge.
But I refuse to believe that there are times where there has to be a magic number where you bet so much, you actually get to a point where you are rooting against your team to lose.
Yeah, there would be.
Last night was even like, I knew that, it was paying big time to take Penn State volleyball. They were plus 700.
Oh.
They're, even in the last set, I was struggling with, do I care that much about the money or do I just want to see them in pain? And, you know, they played great. I mean, they're really
it's one of the good. Best comebacks in probably in volleyball history. Given the stakes, it might be the best comeback in recent history, if not ever.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service. We'll get BMAC on here in a second. I have questions written down for Steelers Ravens. Here's one. Fair to demand TJ Watt as the best player on the field tomorrow?
To demand? Oh, to like say he needs to be?
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
Or does he get a pass because of the ankle injury?
No. If you're playing, it's the old, if you're healthy enough to go, you're healthy enough for me to expect you.
Well, then he's
to play
their highest paid player. He's their best player. He's the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year.
He'll seal it up if he has a huge game and they win. You can hand him the award. If he has like more than one sack, he forces a turnover and they win, especially if it's low scoring, he'll give it to him.
Steelers win. They hold Ravens under 17 points. He has one sack. Does that lock up the award?
If not a strip sack, though. It's just he has a sack.
Yeah.
It doesn't lock it up, but I mean, it doesn't hurt him. If he makes the kind of splash play that like takes the ball away and it either leads directly to a scoop and score or it like sets up a short field touchdown and they win a low scoring game where that's like the obvious difference maker, give him the award. Like, be done with it.
Here is the box score for Watt against Lamar. Earlier this year, sack, two tackles for loss, two QB hits. 2 years ago, two sacks, two tackles for loss, two QB hits, one fumble recovery. 2021, 3.5 sacks. Three tackles for loss, six quarterback hits, one forced fumble. That is a gigantic game.
It's really weird to me how good they are against him with their pretty known strategy of we're going to run a guy right at him and force him to make a move. And yet they couldn't employ that against a slow
but like burlier runner in Hurts. I don't understand that.
One sack, five quarterback hits against him in 2020, and then the first game, 19. One sack, three tackles for loss, one quarterback hit. So it's at least a sack in every game. It's that's 5.5, 7.5. It's 8.5 sacks in five games.
He's a lot. He's a monster against them.
BMAC, Brian McFadden is back with us here, getting you ready for Steelers and Ravens. BMAC, when the game ends at around 7:30 Saturday night, will you still be thinking that the Steelers are in Lamar Jackson's head and own the two-time MVP? What do you think?
I hope so. I really hope so. I hope
you don't sound confident, BMAC.
I agree with Chris. I'm not sound confident.
You sound very. Somebody saying, "Are you going to get an A on this test?" Oh, I hope so.
Well, it depends on how much studying I get chance to do. And I think in this situation for us, you know, in totality as a team, our defense is going to have success against Lamar Jackson. But is it sustainable? Because the thing about defensive play, when you're playing against a high-profile guy like Lamar Jackson, one of the best playmakers in the National Football League, you're going to have to get some help from your offense. I'm more concerned about our offense than our defense, because our defense can ball out, but – can they sustain that level of play if they're not getting the surges from the offense? We saw that last week against the Eagles. I mean, if you look at how the game started, you look at the turnovers. You know, TJ punching the football out, created a turnover. You look at the muff punt return. I mean, we didn't score touchdowns. We settled for field goals. When you're playing against
the last time we played them, BMAC, we kicked six field goals when we beat Baltimore the last time.
Yes, we kicked six field goals. How many field goals did they miss?
Two.
Right? And think about the very first drive. The first drive, we created a turnover in prime scoring position for our offense.
Correct.
I mean, so if you're Baltimore, granted, everything that you did not do right, the first meeting against Pittsburgh, has been overly emphasized. So for us as the Steelers, I expect to see a more efficient, a cleaner ball game from Baltimore. Now, if that happens, do we have the players, especially on the offensive side, that can battle and fight back against that said powerhouse that they have on offense?
Do you feel like they do?
Offensively, not without George Pickens, no.
I agree.
No. And the reason why I'll say that is, let's keep it real, right? George Pickens is our only playmaker on the offensive side. Our only playmaker. And we saw how much he means to our offense last week. See, the thing about a team like Philly compared to a team like the Cleveland Browns, Philadelphia is a playoff caliber team. Philadelphia is a championship caliber team. So the things we were able to get away with against Cleveland, you can't get away with when you're playing against a very, very good team in Philly. For Baltimore, in totality, I don't think they're as good as Philly, especially on the defensive side. But when you get them and they're actually dialed in, that can be a tough out. So to your question, we don't have any. Who's our next best playmaker without George Pickens in the line?
Probably Pat now.
Oh, I would say Jalen Warren.
They don't like giving him the ball.
I know.
D-Mac?
I know, but I would say Jalen Warren is probably our next best playmaker. And now what we're seeing too, guys, is the inability to make a splash move at the wide receiver position is now starting to surface because we lack depth. We don't have any depth at the pass catching position.
So I said to Chris earlier in the show, this is a question I asked him and a take I had. I said a loss would turn up the heat on Omar Khan big time. Do you agree with that, BMAC?
I wouldn't say that because, you know, our roster is outstanding. Number one, let's keep it real. We've exceeded the expectations. No one thought we would
be. Not yours. Yeah, you got him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, they still have a ways to go to meet your expectations.
Oh, no question. I mean, another season starts in January, right? The first part we've taken care of. We solidified a playoff spot. But the real season starts in January. There lies where my prediction will surface or not surface. But in terms of regular season success, we exceeded the expectations based on the experts and the different analysts.
That's right.
No safe, right? So now that's because they had great coaching and great personnel. Now it's about finding a way to get over the hump because now people know you can play. They want more. They want more. And I got a question. What's going on with Mike Williams?
I
would love to know.
That was in my head. I was going to throw that back at you. What do you think is going on with him?
In a situation like now where you don't have George Pickens, you would think he will probably be the – I don't understand we have Van Jefferson, but in terms of athleticism, in terms of guys who a guy who has done really, really good in the National Football League, I think he would be the next man up. But, either he doesn't understand the playbook or they just don't trust him. Either or is not good, working out good for us.
B-Mac, here's the thing, and I'm oversimplifying football, so I admit that up front here. How much of a playbook does Mike Williams need to know? Hey, Mike, see that? Go out, run out wide, and then I want you to run as fast as you can straight down the field, and Russ is going to count to three and then heave the ball. Can you catch it? That, to me, needs to – that's his play.
Yeah, but why we're not seeing him?
Just whenever people say, does he know the playbook well enough, I'm just like, man, you – he's the kind of dude with, like, athletic ability and height, you would think, who doesn't have to know that many different plays. Like, Coach Tomlin always used to call Mike Wallace what?
A one-trick pony.
Thank you. Let Mike Williams be a slower but taller one-trick pony. That's why when people bring up, like, the playbook, I just kind of scratch my head because I'm like, it isn't that complicated. Let him go try to be better than the guy covering him on a go route.
Yes, yes. And to your point, go routes, no body position, you know, just trying to win the 50-50 ball. That would help right now because outside of that, we don't have any,
Need to be able to get 25 to 30 yards easy, don't they, B-Mac? They need to be able to break off like a couple of those a game just to make life easier for themselves.
Yeah, and the thing that I like when Russ first got into the lineup, the first thing he was doing was, pushing the football down the field.
Trusted those guys.
Yes, so as a defender, you have to honor that. Now, without George Pickens in the lineup, you know, we're not seeing that aggressive style as much as we once did with George Pickens and Russ in the lineup together.
How, let me ask you this. Do the Steelers need to win the AFC North to have a long playoff run?
That's a great question. I'll say this. I don't think they need to win the AFC North to have a long run, but not winning the AFC North will feel a bit disappointing based on how long they control the North. But think about this. If you lose the AFC North in the final 2 weeks of the season and you had a hole on this division for how many weeks? What, six, seven? Right?
Yeah, you were up two games with the tiebreaker on them.
Yeah, you were up two. So going into the final three ball games, you're up a game now and you own the tiebreaker against them and you play them. It will feel like a disappointment, in my opinion. Now, in terms of playoff football, I believe the Steelers can win at home, can win on the road. Now, it's all about the matchups. That's very, very important because the matchups are more important and more important than where you play, in my opinion.
Give me a matchup you like for them right now and give me a matchup you wouldn't like for them, B-Mac.
I love Pittsburgh versus the Chargers.
Ooh.
Even after what Herbert did late in that game.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, give us that. Because guess what? The Chargers can't run the football. The Chargers cannot run the football.
Do they need to if Herbert plays like that, though?
Yeah, you need to. Playoff football, you got to be able to run the football to some degree. Yes, they need
to. Okay, how about one you wouldn't like?
Yeah, what's the worst possible first-round matchup? Realistically.
The worst possible.
Well, like, you can't say Buffalo because they're probably not going to drop to I don't even think they mathematically can drop to the seventh seed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the worst possible matchup would probably be playing someone like Baltimore.
Uh-oh.
Three times.
Hard. Then you'd want to lose this game. You can't. It's hard to beat a team three times in the same season.
Why? They did it in 08.
Yeah, we did it in 08. We had no problems with it in 08.
That was a rookie quarterback, though, for Baltimore.
Also, it wouldn't be three in a row, Chris, because if they lose this one, they're not – well.
I just said that's why you should want to lose this one.
All right, B-Mac. Bottom line for you is do the Steelers beat –
Wait, what's a B-Mac bet for this weekend?
Well, I was going to ask it. Is it Steelers plus 6.5?
Oh, no question I'm taking that.
How about money line? Game?
I mean, I have a few money line plays, no question. See, the thing about this money line, you put a team like Pittsburgh together with the Commanders, you know, with who else playing this week? Minnesota. You just sprinkle quite a few games with the money line to be able to make it become a thing. So, yeah, money line would be a great deal.
On the Steelers to win outright.
Yeah, put them in. That's money line. Yes.
Yes, I know, but they're a big – they're a big
well,
dog.
Well, you didn't sound very confident when we first brought you on here, B-Mac. So, like, it is curious that you just threw down, like, that bet, money line. Nice. I guess what you're really, like, a serious bettor. You're saying there's good value to be had there.
She cried to the southern wind. The host on the station is called our guest in 15 minutes, a Steelers apologist. He'll join us for an hour. I think that's a little harsh. That's just me. The music means it is time for Donnie Football's Mega Matchups. Donnie looks for the big man-on-man, unit-versus-unit aspect of the game that he thinks will define this game between the Steelers and Ravens. It's not sponsored because Donnie has had high school football all year and Donnie Football Fridays with Joe. So it is a pleasure to have Donnie back with us here now just 25 hours before the Steelers play the Ravens. So Donnie, the floor is yours for the mega matchup.
I'm just so happy to hear this song again. It immediately makes us think of our boy Big Earn.
Do you like it more than Malzie the Snowman?
Yes.
Do you think Joe's taking it personally that we've just ripped him to shreds for the ending of this
No,
song?
Because he re-recorded it. He knew he screwed up.
Re-recorded it.
Yeah, they've tried to re-record it because he's acutely aware that he just fumbled the bag there, lyrically.
Pop seems to...
Big Earn is finally above the law, Donnie.
Pop seems to escape any criticism with that song. He seems to be getting nothing but rave reviews.
Because everybody knows he's just the performer. He's not the song, the lyricist or songwriter.
And they like when he said that oversized hat in regards to you.
Yeah.
That's a...
Yeah, he was a big fan.
Yeah. All right, Donnie, what do you got for us?
So this is a matchup that we normally would not see, but there is some potential to see, and it has to do with the Steelers' best defensive player, T.J. Watt. There's an idea that got thrown out there by your pal pony, Dr. Chow. Could we see T.J. Watt switch sides in this game due to his ankle injury, due to the ankle he'd be pushing off more in his pass rush, because if he stays on the same side, he would look like a compromised player. So could we see T.J. Watt against Ronnie Stanley? So here's Dr. Chow on that possibility.
Left inversion ankle sprain. Outside leg when he pass rushes from the left defensive side. I've looked at the video. It is a mild ankle sprain, but we've looked at practice video. He clearly is hampered on the left side. There's no way he can be T.J. Watt and get around the edge on the defensive left side. Look for him to flip to the right side against the offensive left tackle, where you can have a healthy right ankle to get around the edge and flip with Alex Highsmith.
It's actually a really good point from Chow, who gets murdered by people on Twitter for giving out medical opinions from his couch. But he knows more than 99% of the people who call him out for it, having been a team doctor with the Chargers. And he had the same take I did from watching the practice video. He said hampered, I said hobbled, tomato, tomato. And I do believe that the Steelers are stubborn and obstinate. And in this situation, if TJ's out there, they're going to say, do what you always do. We're not going to make allowances for you being at 85% instead of 100 and change our defense and ask you to play left-handed when you're used to playing right-handed. And I think he'll stay on the same side against Roger Rosengarten, is the name of the Ravens rookie right tackle. I think TJ wants that one on that personal matchup of here's a rookie against me. I'm going to eat this guy for a late afternoon.
Roger Rosengarten. Lunch. Roger Rosengarten sounds like the name of a bad guy in an Adam Sandler movie.
Can you think of a bad guy name other than Shooter McGavin from a bad guy?
What was the dude in Billy Madison, the main bad guy?
Donnie?
Eric.
Eric, yeah. It was because it wasn't Carl, because that was Carl.
Carl was good, the good
to
guy.
See you. Good to see you.
Carl got the Carl was the big winner. He got the company in the end.
And Carl ended up, didn't he?
He kind of blocked Sandler.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There was a little blocking going on.
Yeah.
That was during the Spanish Armada scene, wasn't it?
The Armada was about to fire the cannonballs.
Yeah, Sandler was throwing out years like when I tried to guess when Plato was on Earth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
That was a great moment.
He was missing by centuries and by thousands of years.
Did you not say 1750?
Yes. That was an all-timer.
That is in the 3+ years now, because I think this is around the time in 2021 you fully joined the show. That is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of funniest things you have ever said.
My favorite part about Donnie and some of those like discussions is he gets so mad, like, how am I supposed to know when Plato was alive, you jackasses?
And who cares?
But then he's like, oh, yeah, Martavis Bryant definitely caught 2 touchdown passes from Ben in that game, in that Steelers game from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Joe was just beside himself today at some of those quiz show questions. I threw him off the game early. That's got to be the Steelers' plan tomorrow. You get Lamar Jackson's head early, and Joe was throwing his papers. He was getting mad at limits for asking completely fair questions.
I will say this about Joe. His histrionics during the quiz show helped make it as fun as it is. Did you just get an immense amount of enjoyment being on the other side of it and torturing him the way you were? Because, Donnie, some of my, like, happiest moments of my life on this job, and I love working with the two of you, I really do, but sometimes when I would pull an answer out of the mist on the quiz show against him, especially in, like, final quiz show Jeopardy, the look on his face would, like, sustain my happiness for hours at a time.
Somebody texted us and said that they were trying to grab, like, a screenshot or a quick clip of when Donnie got something right. Apparently, Joe on the YouTube stream, like, threw his papers down.
You should be able to go that YouTube stream. You can send it backwards in time. You should be able to grab it. If you know what time it happened, you should be able to find it. I remember the one, Pony, I think I've told you this one. One of our final Jeopardy-style questions on that quiz show was, name the only player ever to play in both the Final Four, men's Final Four in the World Series. I think start, and it's Kenny Lofton.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It was one of those deals where I had, like, randomly seen that factoid in the last, like, couple of days prior for no good reason. He goes, I don't know about this, Craig. Who would know that? And so he just said something wrong. I said, I think it was Kenny Lofton. He throws stuff. He does the air punch, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the air punch is great. He would reserve that for callers who, like, passive-aggressively offended him, but it's great when he gets mad.
It was also very funny because I had him beat so badly where, like, the last question today was meaningless. I was already up to too many points.
I don't care, Limits. Just get it over with.
He said, all right, Austin, we'll do this last one just for pride. And it was like, I don't know, like 15 or 20 Steelers and Ravens since 2020 have been named to the Pro Bowl. And Joe just quickly said, I can do 15. And I just said, then do it. And he got like 5 in. He was just at a loss. I just started laughing. He got mad.
Oh, you're doing it right then. You got to make sure to troll him too. Be like, Joe, pride's all you're going to have left after this.
Two nuggets here before we get to Kabali. Number one, to Donnie's point about trying to get in the heads of the Ravens early.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these two scenarios would you prefer? An opening drive touchdown by the Steelers,
mm-hmm,
where everything worked and they had the ball for like 5 or 6 minutes and just drove it the length of the field and cashed it in for a touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
Or like we saw a few years ago where there's a Spillane moment and Jackson on his first pass drops back and here comes like Hayward, bats it up in the air to himself, catches it and scurries
into the Indian,
25 yards for a touchdown.
Where you get like Keanu Benton, a big man, yeah, a true big man TD. I'd take option B there.
Donnie?
I'd go B because then I think we see Lamar start to
get the home crowd
head.
Turns on him a little. Not turns.
Turns!
I don't think they turns! Are you Sean McDonough?
Don, I knew you were going to say that.
I think the home crowd doesn't turn on him, but they get restless, right? And they, oh my God, we've seen this stupid movie before. Like, we love Lamar, but why is it continuing to happen? Didn't they have a game against the Ravens? I know there's one against the Lions. Remember Mason, the Mason 50 pass attempt game? He took him right down the field on the first drive and scored.
Uh-huh.
And then nothing happened, right? Now, Russ is way better. I don't need, as much as we've lamented how bad their offense looks without Pickens, I've seen enough from Russ in the past. I don't need to, like, be reassured. And plus, if he takes him right down the field and scores, that doesn't do anything to tell me how the Ravens might look offensively, which is, like, the real mystery question here. A Lamar pick six that, like,
bring the house down.
Like, he's trying to throw a little screen to Justice Hill or something on third down. Yeah, and then Cam just bats it, stiff arms Lamar away. That would be a big pop.
And then a baseball, I agree with you guys. I would say the defensive touchdown. Baseball news, Christian Walker to the Astros on a 3-year, $60 million deal. Pirates could have done that. And I would feel much differently about them if they had. For Horwitz.
Still looking to trade Keller, though, right? He's available. Jones, available.
Crowley said he was fine with the Horwitz trade or would be fine with a He said the reason why you make a Horwitz trade is because a big market team like the Yankees would have just spent and spent and spent and kept upping the ante with Walker until you had to walk away.
Okay, force them to do that, except they didn't. The Astros got him.
Exactly. That's not an exorbitant amount of money for him.
I think this is another thing,
though. That's a very fair deal.
Pony, I think this is another situation, though, where, like, the going rate for players across Major League Baseball, like, Pirates fans have sort of a broken brain about it at times. Not, like, not saying this in a negative way, like, it's their fault. You see a guy make $20 million, and you're like, well, wait a minute, that's a crazy... No, it's not. Like, no, it is not. Which is why Skeens being the best pitcher in baseball for the price they are going to have to pay him is so, it's so crucial to take advantage of that. You have something that, what's he going to make next year in his second year here? As a year two player in the bigs, like a million, like slightly over a million, maybe?
I don't even know. I don't know what the,
but you know what I mean.
He got a bonus from winning the rookie of the year, how that works,
but he hit the open market right now, somebody would be willing to pay him 60 times what he is making annually this coming year. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Somebody would be willing to pay that man $60 million on the open market annually right now. You have to take advantage of the flexibility, sorry to say that word, that existence grants you.